Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. I'm extremely excited to have a wonderful lady in studio with me. Amy Stockwell from the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center is with me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Are you good?
I'm doing great. I'm glad it's Friday.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for being here. It is long overdue. It is something I've been wanting to do for a while. And of course, you and I first met. I don't even know when we first met. We first met years ago.
I don't remember dates very well, but it's been a long time.
Yeah,
now, Ben.
and you do a wonderful, wonderful job. You and the Family Justice Center in this area. It's not just Putnam County. We're going to get into all those details, but you do a wonderful job. And I had to have you on because I'm not sure how many people are aware of what y'all do. I'm not sure of how much notoriety you get, but I'm here to say, hey, thank you for doing what you do, and I appreciate it. So
thank you, Ben. This is a wonderful opportunity for us because I don't think a lot of people do know.
Yeah.
Exactly what we do.
When they hear the words, they could hear Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center, and all they hear out of it is Justice Center, and then they think something bad, and then they feel like they got to go pay fines about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, so it's true.
It kind of gets lost in the lingo, but we're here to bring some light to what you do. But before we get into that, people that listen know that I love to talk about my guest background and what how they get here and all this stuff. And I know you're humble, and I know you don't like talking about yourself, but I'm going to get it out of you a little bit. One thing you and I have in common is that we are, I guess you're third generation public service. I'm a second generation with my uncle, and people that listen know that. But your grandfather served Putnam County in what capacity?
As a county commissioner.
As a county commissioner. And that was roughly...
No clue.
Yeah,
before I was around.
Yeah, yeah. So years ago. And then your father, Doug McBroom, was county executive, because then it was county executive. We just changed it probably 4 years ago, 3 years ago, to county mayor in Putnam County, but it was county executive, and he was 4-plus terms, I believe, as county executive.
He was.
And
he
did
was.
A great job for Putnam County.
Well, thank you. He had a lot of help from your uncle. So.
Yeah, they were, it's almost dangerous. They were thick as thieves. I'm not sure how good that was.
Oh, they fought. They fought like thieves, too, I think. I don't know if thieves is the right metaphor to use, but yeah. But that I think that's why they did have a close relationship, because Bill would definitely tell it the way he thought it is. And so, yeah, I remember the budget conversations a lot.
Yeah. So. And of course, and Randy Porter's our mayor now, and he and I are tight, and I have him on. Actually, he was on last week with Jeff Jones, but he and I don't always get along on budget stuff. We don't get mad, but we disagree. And I think that's probably similar to what your dad and my uncle did. We hash it out, talk about it, and come to a resolution. And
I think that's how you get a fair budget, though.
Yeah,
you need all those different perspectives. So,
yep.
that's when it works.
Yeah,
it?
Absolutely. So you come from basically a DNA of serving. And if you, I guess that I think to me that helps you in the role you are now. But, of course, you grew up here.
Yes.
And when you got out of college, you didn't go straight into the Family Justice Center because it didn't exist.
No.
So what did you? How did your career start?
Well, I graduated. I went to school in Memphis, actually, University of Memphis, and came back here. I worked a little bit at Averitt, like a lot of people do. Did customer service, which was a great education, and then did some national accounts. And then I decided that really my heart was in nonprofits. So I went to work for the Development District after that. And then from there, I moved to the Upper Cumberland Tourism Association, which is also a nonprofit. And those are the things that give me a sense of purpose. I've dabbled again in for-profit businesses and worked for a professional press tour agency that did press tours around the United States. And then I came back here.
So you have a lot of experience in several different things. So nonprofit experience, of course. You have tourism experience. Is that a career you loved, or is that something you just got a good experience? I want to move on to something else.
I loved it, but I didn't feel like that was my calling. It wasn't making a difference in people's lives. I wasn't directly touching other people's lives, and so it felt a little for me. And when I was working too for the for-profit business, it was traveling at least 36 weeks out of the year, and so there wasn't a very good work-life balance there either. So. I just decided I needed to, once again, regroup and see what else was out there.
I got to ask you before we move on to the Justice Center, Family Justice Center. I think your dad became county executive when you were a teenager. How was
my
life?
Formative years.
Yeah. How was life as a county official's daughter at school and social life? Was that hard, or was it?
No, nobody at school could have cared. I mean, I don't think they had any interest at all. But I loved it. I loved it. I loved the campaigning. I loved going to the county commission meetings. I still kind of enjoy that too. I know that makes me sound a little geeky, but maybe I am. Well, I guess I am.
I call myself a county government nerd all the time, and I admit it and I own it. And I've told this before. I did not like the campaigning for Bill. I got yelled at by an old man in Baxter and called me. I was 13, and he called me names and called my uncle names, and I was almost in tears as I walked back to the. We were walking in the city of Baxter, and I was walking back to meet my dad and my uncle and my cousin and my brother, and we had a meeting spot. And my dad could see me from the next driveway, and he saw my head was hanging down. Yep. And I think I was pouty, and he's like, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "This old man just cussed me out. I didn't do anything but ask him to vote for Bill." And he went over there and he knocked on the door, and I reckon he told that man what he thought. But anyway, campaigning was not, when I was a kid, was not my thing. But it's cool that you enjoyed it and seeing people.
I loved it. I loved it. My brother didn't feel the same way. But, yeah. And my mom, you know, but Dad and I really, really enjoyed that part. The meeting people and talking to them about what matters to them, you know, their ideas. And I loved that.
Good
experience.
Good. So now you're still early, I believe, early in your career, and you are now at the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. That has not always existed. So when did the Family Justice Center begin?
The Family Justice Center began before I got there in 2013. I think it was 13. They got a grant from the Tennessee Office of Criminal Justice Programs, which is part of finance and administration. And they're sort of the pass-through for the federal money that comes to each of the states. So they wrote a grant to do a family justice center. There were two family justice centers in the state, one in Memphis and one in Knoxville. And so Governor Haslam had been involved with the Knoxville Family Justice Center, and he made it part of his public safety plan to develop a network of family justice centers across the state. And so, you know, Upper Cumberland has to get in there. We're very progressive in that way. And so Randy York was the district attorney then, and one of his ADAs suggested that this would be a good opportunity for us and wrote the grant. And they actually had to lobby quite a bit because they wanted to do urban centers. And so they lobbied for the Upper Cumberland, and we were one of the first three that first grant cycle that
That's
came
good.
Out.
That's good. So who did the lobbying for? Was there a lobbyist doing that, or was it just the district attorney's office really doing the work? Or?
Yeah, it was more of a harassment campaign. Now, I don't know. Randy York would probably say something different, but I think it was one of those where I'm going to call and call and call. And so not a professional lobbying effort, but really we need this and we want this and we want to show you that we can do this.
The one thing about the Upper Cumberland, people in the Upper Cumberland were very persistent.
Very much so, and I love that.
And we keep on until somebody just absolutely finally tells us, no, it ain't going to happen. And usually it happens. Usually we don't get told no a lot. So
it does.
Well, that's great. So it was a mission by a previous governor, Governor Haslam. And so this started, and so how did you get put in that role for being the head of the Family Justice Center?
Well, it seems like it was some kind of mystical thing. I was in law school. And so I did an internship with the DA's office. And so when I went to get my permission slip signed saying that I could do that, the general asked me to come back and talk to him. So I had my four-year-old Daisy in tow, and here we go back. I've never met Randy York before. But he started talking to me about this program and what they were doing, and I was like, and that they had this open director's position. And I just looked at him. He didn't know me either. But I said, I think I need to apply for that. But he had seen my very varied resume. So I think he thought that possibly that would make, because there are a lot of things that go into this position, you know, besides just our mission of helping victims of crime.
Right.
So yeah.
What year did you start with the Family Justice Center?
September of 2013.
So that's right at a year before I started.
Oh, wow.
And elected as commissioner. I knew about it because with my role with county government, but mm-hmm. I didn't know really what it was, and I didn't really know who to ask, and I didn't want to bother anybody because I just, you know. So when I got elected, one of the first things Randy Porter and I talked about was this, and then I met you, and you were talking to me about what you did, and I was just fascinated with the service and with the opportunity y'all give people. And we're going to get into that because I don't want to steal your thunder. But I was just fascinated by it. And I thought, we've got to figure out how to make this sustainable and for it to be here as long as we need it to be here. So 13, golly, that's almost 9 years.
It's people like you and Randy Porter and General Dunaway who have made this sustainable. Because we didn't know. I mean, this had never been done before. We didn't know what that was going to look like. And it's been that we had to have that municipality support. So our grants run through the county. So we're considered county employees, but they do all of our, you know, fiscal administration and all that to make sure, you know, there's no impropriety and all of that. Without that, it would be really difficult for us to have grown the way that we have.
Yeah, and of course, the grant funding is how you started, and I want to get into later on the show about how the county started helping out with some funding because we felt like it was important to give that additional funding. And
Absolutely. Golly,
that's been 3 or 4 years ago as well. So
that's been longer than that.
Has it been?
I want to say 2017.
I guess it was in my first term. Yeah.
So it was.
So we'll get into that details too. But you know, it's like you said, it is a team effort. And when you have, of course, you have a board.
We do.
How many member board do you have?
We have 16 members now. Two of them are from Livingston.
Okay. And we'll talk about that as well later on the show, is how we have more than one office. And that it wasn't that way when you started.
We're the pilot project for the multiple centers within a region.
Yeah. So, folks, we got a lot to learn about this, and I want to cover everything possible so everyone knows kind of what the Family Justice Center is. Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center, we refer to it. Family Justice Center around here, but it's Upper Cumberland. We'll talk about what area it serves when we come back. We'll talk about the office in Livingston, the board a little bit more, because you said 16-member board. Mm-hmm. That's a decent-sized board, but I want to get into all that when we come back after this break on Local Matters. Ben Rogers in studio with Amy Stockwell. She is the director of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Amy Stockwell, the director of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center. We were talking about kind of a little bit of the structure. We discussed how you started, how the center was started. You have a board of 16 members, and you said two of those were from Livingston. And like I said, we'll get to that in just a moment. But what is the role of the board for the Family Justice Center?
Well, when we first created the Family Justice Center, we knew that it was going to go through the county. So the commission, the Putnam County Commission, we did a resolution to create a board that would have oversight for the day-to-day operations. So that's how it happened. And then we're accountable, of course, to the commission and the county executive.
Right.
So that's sort of our hierarchy. And there were five mandated, we can't say mandated because it's voluntary, but positions that are stakeholders in the community that were highly encouraged to be on the board. And so that would be the county mayor and the chief of police and the sheriff and the domestic violence service provider director, which is Genesis House for us, and Melissa Garrett. And let's see, there's one more. I can't remember right now. But our board is made up of those positions, and then we fill the rest with our service providers. So the Family Justice Center operates as sort of a clearinghouse or an umbrella. We have 30 partners, over 30, I guess, that have agreed to work with our clients either at the Family Justice Center or in a referral capacity. And so we have representatives from those agencies as well to make sure that we're guiding the Family Justice Center in the way that it needs to go. Once again, not just one person's
Right.
Idea.
Well, let's talk. That's a perfect segue. And let's talk about what the Family Justice Center actually does. So what kind of services are you providing for people?
So for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, or elder abuse, we provide what we like to call comprehensive services. Those are growing all the time. But the idea was that there were barriers to receiving services, either by they didn't know what resources were available, or they didn't have the time or the ability to get to all the different resources. So we've tried to house those in one place so that if they know a victim of crime knows, you know, where the door is, they can walk through it and we'll be there. And it's our job to keep the doors open and the lights on. So you don't have to have an appointment. You can walk in anytime from 9 to 4, and then we can provide those services. So they range, especially domestic violence is our main focus. And those, we do orders of protection for Putnam County in this location during the day, and we can, there's a Genesis advocate that's located in the Family Justice Center. Legal Aid has office hours and does appointments with clients at the Family Justice Center. So all of those things can be handled there. If there are other things that they need, like Cookeville Police or the Sheriff's Department will come and take a report at the Family Justice Center if that's a request. So what we basically, to simplify it, when a client comes in and talks to us about their issues, we listen to what they say and then, you know, offer them a little selection of services they might be interested in. And it's up to them. It's very victim-oriented, so, or survivor-oriented. We have a lot of people who come back multiple times, but that they choose what they want to do, what they're ready to do now. And a lot of times, I think our clients don't understand that they don't have to be leaving that domestic violence situation to come to the Family Justice Center, or even just to call to get information. They may want to do safety planning. A lot of people just want to know what's out there because they're facing so many obstacles. It's even hard to prioritize in what order things need to be done. So we're there to do that support as well.
So I got a couple follow-up questions because I'm curious. And well, let me say this first. Your office and your staff are providing a service we hope and pray no one ever needs.
Absolutely.
We hope and pray that no one ever has to be a victim of domestic violence or assault or child abuse or elderly, any of that. We hope and pray that people in our county in this area are good people and they don't hurt others. Reality is, it does happen.
But if they are, they don't have to stay that way.
Exactly. Thank you. If they are being hurt, they don't have to stay that way. They have an outlet through your office to come. And like you said, they don't even have to promise they're leaving that situation. You have open arms. You and your staff have open arms and say, come here. We will help you. We will talk to you. The question, I guess one of the follow-ups I have, are you obligated in any way to call law enforcement on a situation?
We are mandated reporters of elder abuse and of child abuse.
Okay.
So we try to communicate that in any conversation that gets close to either one of those. But we want to give the power of these, you know, domestic violence. Well, elder, all of these crimes are about power and control, more than violence, really. Violence is just a component of that.
Sure.
So we want to give our clients that power to dictate what they want to do. We can advise them. We can, you know, do whatever they ask us to do. But it really is up to them. And that's a huge part, I think, of why we've been successful.
Yeah, and confidentiality is a big part of it.
Everything is confidential. We can't share any information unless there's a written paper signed telling what we can tell and, you know, who we can share it with. And all of the services are free.
So free, and it's confidential. It's a win-win if you're in that situation. It's a win-win if you need help or assistance or some kind of outlet to talk. And I know your education background. You're not technically a psychiatrist, but you're there to listen, and you can, and your staff, there does not have to be a licensed psychiatrist on staff for this to exist. It's more of an outlet for people to go to, and then they tell you what they need, and you do everything you can to provide that service.
And we're advocates. That's what we are. We're advocating for that client. We're the person that's on their side. We're going to do everything that we can. We believe, and we advocate for them so that they can, you know, develop their life of independence and be free from the violence that they're currently living in.
Do you have any idea how many people you've helped since in this 9 year?
No. I know that we had last year from January to December, we had 1,002 clients that we assisted. Not all of those were new. A lot of those include return visits, but 1,002 people. And that's just the people we worked with. That wasn't, you know, indirect clients like the children that may have been assisted by that. But there are six of us in both of the centers. That includes both centers.
That was so, my next question. How many staff do you have? And you have six in both offices.
We've got four here, and including me, and then two in Livingston.
Is that enough?
No, but we're proud to have those. We actually have more than the current allotment for family justice centers, once again, because we're persistent in what we ask for.
Well, and we're going to talk about some of those asks too. But before we break, the office in Livingston, when did that open?
In July of last year.
And that was a big deal for us and for the whole region, really. Because what areas are you serving?
Well, we technically, in our grant applications, it says the 13th Judicial District, which is nine counties. But effectively, it's the Upper Cumberland, because we get clients from all over the Upper Cumberland.
You get clients from counties that are outside that 13th Judicial District.
Right.
And technically, people say there's 14 counties in the Upper Cumberland, mm-hmm. So you're probably seeing people from all 14 counties.
We are. Yeah.
I'm thankful for what y'all do, and I don't know how you do it with the staff, the limited staff you have, but if you're serving that many, 1,002 people in a calendar year.
Yeah, that was last year. Every year it grows.
Yeah. And so how was COVID? Was it less with COVID?
And initially, in March, 2020, our numbers dropped, and for a couple months after that, but then they started catching back up.
Right.
So. And we've noticed that if we see a month where our cases drop, they usually make up for it the next month. We've never gone back on, we're still growing. We've never decreased the number of clients that we serve. And then, of course, with the Overton County Center, that adds more. But we consider that to be one of our gauges for how well we're doing and how responsive, because the people that come to see us don't necessarily trust something called the Family Justice Center.
Right.
And a lot of times they have to hear about us more than once.
Right.
Law enforcement is fantastic. They hand out our victims' rights cards. They give all our information about orders of protection at every domestic.
Okay.
So that helps. But a lot of times it's when they hear from somebody else that's been there, or it's a family member or a friend who knows somebody that's been there, then that's when I feel like they really do trust us to come into the Family Justice Center. So we have to keep giving that service that they need so that they'll share that experience. And we do have an evaluation process as well.
Well, and we'll talk about that and more when we come back after this break here on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Amy Stockwell. She is the director at the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center, and she's given us so much good information about what they do and the programs they provide for victims of abuse and children, victims of child abuse and elderly abuse, domestic assault, domestic abuse, I mean, all kinds of things. And we're just blessed to have y'all in this area. And you have, as we mentioned, you have another office in Overton County in Livingston that was created last year, and that was a big deal for us. We were talking, as we left last segment, we were talking about the surveys and kind of figuring out what services are you needing to provide, and who are your clients? So how does that work?
Well, at every visit, the client is offered the opportunity to complete a survey, which is an evaluation of what we did. And they're very broad. It's about, are you happy with the services you received at the Family Justice Center? But they're, you know, I feel more knowledgeable about the criminal justice system, because we try to work through that. If they're a victim and they're, you know, there's a criminal case, we want them to feel empowered to help prosecute their offense. So there are a lot of things that go into that. And so we use those surveys, we review those quarterly, and we use those to sort of figure out where we need to bulk up our services. But really, the Family Justice Center, I have to say, is my staff, because they are fantastic. I'm amazed all the time at what a great job they do. And they're willing, you know, it's just those people with the information in their head and the heart to help somebody else out. So it really, those surveys are usually very heartwarming for me, thank goodness. But we've also done focus groups with survivors to figure out where are the gaps in services and where we need to go next. And we also have the other component of the Family Justice Center is that we are tasked with a coordinated community response. So we sort of look at the system as a whole, and we have these coordinated community response teams, but one for Putnam, one for Overton, that meet. And so the people from any discipline that touches domestic violence, we have representatives that get together and talk about what are we seeing, you know, are there gaps? Is there something that we need to do? And that also has informed some of our decisions about how we grow and in what direction.
Do you ever see a need for another office in Upper Cumberland?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
How would you go about doing that? What kind of campaign would you have to start to get another office?
Well, I think that we are doing very well and that our funders are pleased. And by them, I'm talking about Office of Criminal Justice Programs, to with our progress in Livingston and the amount of clients that we're already seeing there. That community has really welcomed the Family Justice Center, much as Putnam County did here. So they watch those things. And so I hope that at some point they'll possibly give us another. And the board's interested in that, too. It's something that we've talked about.
Is there an ideal location in your head that you would like to have?
Well, initially, when we were talking about Overton County, we were talking about White County and Overton County because we have trouble. It's really inconvenient for people in DeKalb County to get here. Mm-hmm. You know, the same as it was for Pickett and Clay.
Right.
So we're just trying to build out so that we can have that travel time.
Sure.
To receive those services.
Yeah, I mean, from Pickett, from Birdstown or Solana to Livingston's less than 30 minutes. So,
and it was an hour before.
Right, yeah.
And the good thing about the Upper Cumberland is that we have so many of the same service providers.
Right.
So it's not that we have to go and recruit all new service providers. We're used to working together. And so we already have that blueprint of what we need to do, and then we just fashion it to that community. So we've been, I feel like, not to brag on us, and I'm, you know, it's Brittany Shaw that's the site coordinator in Livingston, and she's really great as far as, you know, keeping those partnerships tight and listening to what those partners are saying for that center. So it's still growing, of course, but I'm hoping that they sometime down the road might give us another one.
So let's talk about funding, because you had mentioned the main funding is from the grants that are they're coming from the state. Any federal grants that come through? Anything?
No,
federally?
That's federal money. So most of our money is VOCA. So it's the Victims of Crime Act money.
Okay.
That now is 70% of our funding.
Okay.
So the other funding that we get for the Putnam County Center especially is from the county commission granted us the Victims Assistance Assessment Fund.
And so we did that in, I think, 2017.
You know, it may have been earlier than that. I was thinking it may have been in 2015 when we opened.
It could have been. So tell everybody how that started, how that idea came about.
Well, we found out that that was one way that Knoxville Family Justice Center had supported their Family Justice Center. So what it does is it collects fees from people who are have a plea of guilty to a crime or they're convicted of a crime. They pay a $45 fee. So $42 goes to the Family Justice Center and $3 to the clerk's office for their trouble.
Sure.
But that way, we're not using tax money to serve the clients, but the people who created the victims are paying for those services. So it's a nice little tidy bow. And the Overton County Commission just recently, this month actually, designated us to receive that fund as well.
That's
there
good.
To support the center.
I was going to ask you if they'd done anything, so you just answered that question. So I remember when this all played out, and you were a little concerned because we talked about it, and you had a right to be concerned because there was some commissioners that said, well, you know, we don't need to be charging another fine for somebody, or people don't pay their fines anyway, so how do you know they're going to pay this? And my response was, whatever we can get helps. Whatever we can get helps. And the clerk's office does a great job collecting fines and fees.
They do.
Jennifer and her staff have revolutionized, I should say, the way they're collecting delinquent fines and fees. And that falls into that. And it's a big part of the funding for Putnam County, her office, but this is a big part of your funding to keep you operating because we know how grants work. And I don't like to say the dirty word, but sometimes they just don't come in. Sometimes somebody may change their mind, and that would be detrimental to what you're doing.
We've been lucky to be a priority, but, you know, that light's not going to shine on us forever. And the VOCA money is reduced because of some problems at the federal level.
So it has been reduced over time.
We're hoping that it will pick back up. It just was not funded for several years, and so now it's being funded again. Those funds were directed to a different
program.
Pot.
Yeah. So you're hoping it comes back around. and you can maybe, would that give you an opportunity to add another staff member? Or, I mean, what would, if you got the funding you were getting before, what would you do with it? What would be a priority for you?
Well, we've cut in every place that we can cut, but our priority is our staff. Like I said before, I mean, without them, we can do without paper or anything else if we had to, but without that knowledge that they have and then that willingness to help others, we couldn't do anything. So that's what we're focused on, much like the county is, you know, really focused on their employees and keeping those good employees.
Yeah, we've talked about that. I don't know how many times on this show, I guess it's my show, so I can talk about what I want to, but I try not to state my opinion too much on things, but I do advocate for our county employees for being compensated for their benefits. And of course the commission helped that out this month's meeting with picking up their insurance premiums, the increase.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean,
on behalf of me and my
sure. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine my employer coming back and saying, your insurance is going up, you got to eat the cost, we're not going to help you. And so I can't imagine doing that to people that are serving our county. And so luckily our commission voted, I think it was 22-2 maybe. We had an overwhelming vote to do that. But, you know, we want to be supportive of all the programs that are going on in this county, in this area, and not only just county offices. And to me, you're considered a county office in my mind, even though you've got VOCA money that's coming from the federal level and to fund. But to me, you're just much part of the county as another office.
Thanks, man.
So I don't foresee anything going wrong with our funding for you. If the victim assistance program is going to be there, the assessments fines are going to be there. Have you seen that increase or decrease since it started in roughly 6-7 years ago?
With COVID, it's dramatically decreased, which happened to hit at a bad time when the VOCA funding reduced too. But, you know, you understand when you work for a nonprofit that there are going to be lean years and there are going to be years that are – so we're just rolling with it. If I can just keep the staff that I have, then I'll be happy. We also get support from the city as well.
Good. That's good to mention. So how do they support you?
They – through their nonprofit grant process.
Okay.
So for – I guess since 2015, possibly 16, they've given us over $8,000 a year. So that basically pays our utilities.
Sure.
And a little extra. But the thing about that money, too, is, you know, from grants, we're able to leverage that into match so that we can get a higher amount from our grant processes. And in addition to the leveraging the actual cash, that support from our city and our county gives us extra points on our applications. So,
Okay.
And the city of Livingston donated a building
for
our location down there. So
good.
We've got that city-county partnership there.
That's great.
So that really helps me as far as when I go to write the grant to know which points I can.
Good. Before we leave, if anybody's listening and they need to contact you, how would they get in touch with the Family Justice Center?
They can call us at 528-1512. And we're located at 269 South Willow Avenue, Suite E.
Suite E. Okay.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Ben. I've loved being here.
It's been great to learn about a great program. And as I said, we hope we never need these programs, but the reality is we do. And it's been great to have you in to inform us about what all you do. If you need anything from me, let me know. I try to stay out of people's way. People will say, why don't you come by more often? Well, you really want to see my big head come in your door and aggravate you?
Anytime.
I want to help you out, but I don't want to be in your face all the time. So, but if you need me, call me. It's been great having you on. I want to have you back in a few months, too, because it just keep us updated. Folks, hope you've had a great morning. Hope you have a great weekend. I've had Amy Stockwell with me. She's the director of the Upper Cumberland Family Justice Center in with me, and she's been great. Remember this weekend and next week before I talk to you again, smile at somebody. Do not frown. Do not be mean. Be kind to one another. Give somebody a hug, and I promise you it'll be a lot better than being mean. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.